In our next segment, WOOC correspondent Steve Pierce speaks with members of the One Troy Anti-Poverty Program about their efforts to address pervasive issues of income inequality with a focus on North Troy.
Okay, we're here with Dylan Hall, Deborah Garrett, and Sadasia Wheeler, part of One Troy, a new CEO project designed to help neighborhoods in Troy with poverty and other pressing social problems. Dylan, tell us a bit about One Troy. How did it come about? What is the program?
So One Troy is a collaborative effort of nonprofits, residents, businesses, schools and stuff, focusing on poverty reduction. It started through Governor Cuomo with what's called the Empire State Poverty Reduction Initiative. He had given 16 cities some monies to try to tackle poverty. In Troy, we have tremendous issues with perpetual and pervasive poverty. Just even in our neighborhoods where we're located right now, there's up to 50, 60, 70% poverty rates. If you're a child under the age of 18, it's a 50%. And the numbers have doubled over the last 8 to 10 years in terms of rates. And so One Troy is a collaborative effort to try to bring groups together and try to really strengthen what exists already. I like to say it this way. One Troy does three things. We bring people together. Very simply, we convene them. We build capacity of others. In other words, we strengthen them. And then we help foster collaborative action. So with those three things, we're an intermediary. I always say that we are not a new program. We're just a platform. And we're bringing those different initiatives together. There's no shortage of people doing great work. The problem is that it's often program rich and coordination poor. And so to tackle something as challenging as poverty, we need to figure out how to do that together because no one of our organizations can do that alone.
So you have a team that you're working with.
Yeah. So not only have we formed over the last year a steering committee with, again, a number of nonprofits, residences, businesses, the city themselves, but we've also started to build our own capacity and bring in some team members for One Troy. And so with me is Deborah and Sadasia. So I'm going to ask Deborah just to share a little bit about her hat as a resident in the areas that we're focusing on, which is North Central and Hillside, north of Troy, but also as her role on the staff here with One Troy.
So I initially started working with One Troy in July, and I was a little excited just to see the things that was trying to become of One Troy in my area that I live in. I'm excited because I don't plan on leaving this area for a while. And working with One Troy, it lets me see the insides of the things that just the city of Troy is actually in need of. I know the committee that I'm on for the work group, that I'm on, we're focusing on safety, and you'd be surprised how much the person's perspective is related to safety versus what we assume, which we thought was going to be a high crime rate, but it wasn't that. It was just the basic things like sidewalks and street lights and things like that. So as a resident, I'm happy to see that One Troy is going to tackle some of those issues just to make my area feel a little bit more safe for me and my children and my neighbors. And I'm just excited to be a part of One Troy, just the growth and the different context that I'm gaining, and just the strength of One Troy is awesome.
And so also in addition to Deborah, we have Sadasia, who's an AmeriCorps Vista who just started. So I'll let her share just a few moments about her involvement and what she hopes to see over this next year.
So my involvement with the One Troy Project is just going to be, amazing. I'm just excited to see the change that is going to come. Being a resident, a new resident of Troy, New York, you see the difference between coming to visit and actually living here and the growth that has started to become, but just seeing the overall outcome of how, just like how everything is laid out to come, is just, you see the difference from how some neighborhoods looked years ago to how they look now. And I'm just excited to see the overall outcome of the growth of what's going to happen.
So one of the biggest things for One Troy is building, not only aligning kind of initiatives and programs, but what we're seeing even in our meetings is fascinating, where we have people around the table who have not typically met before or have been in some contentious meetings or, you know, the town hall style where people are just throwing like, you know, insults or they're throwing ideas at the wall, which is great, but not really becoming productive. And so what we've seen over and over again in our meetings is that people are sitting across from each other going, oh, you're doing this type of work? Wow, we are trying to do this type of work too. And they're going away from these meetings with just a little bit more awareness and at least on their radar and on their map, what can we do together? Because as one of our values for One Troy says, none of us are as good as all of us. It's actually going to continue to take all of us. So what's next? We hope to release an RFP with a kind of pool of money that our work groups around five focus areas can tap into. Those five focus areas are youth, safety, revitalization, housing, and jobs. And so people and nonprofits will submit requests for tapping into some of that money, again, to strengthen programs, to collaborate, and then to put those plans into action. We hope to have some quick wins first and then some long-term plans as well. Beyond the focus of North Central and Hillside North, then we will hope to scale it to other areas of the city as we grow.
So we're speaking with Dylan Hall, Deborah Garrett, and Sadasia Wheeler, all from CEO and the program One Troy. I guess I'd be the devil's advocate here. I know that in the 1960s when I was a kid, the war on poverty was a flat-out assault on many of the same problems you're describing today. And yet, as you say, the problem is getting worse. It seems like we have structural problems. There are problems with capitalism itself that creates these situations. And the forces seem bigger than the power of anybody at a community level to do anything about it. What can we really do if the system itself is at fault?
Absolutely. So with our initiative, looking at it, the systemic challenges for the first year we've realized are beyond our capabilities. So can we build from the ground up and focus on a population level, what we call population level accountability? In other words, can we wrap this plan around a small geographic region neighborhood-wide and see if we can have some success with, you know, so if, say if the neighborhoods we are focused in have 1,000 people, can we just get 10% of people from poverty to sustainability with a multiple services wrapping around them? Now, at the same time, we're working with like the city of Albany. They're putting together a pretty thorough white paper on the cliff effect, which is one of the many, many systemic issues inhibit people from getting out of poverty to sustainability. So the cliff effect, if you're not familiar with it, is there's this line in the sand that says if you make just five more dollars than this amount of money, you lose vital services as a family. It could be childcare or other public assistance. And so there's a lot of policies in place. And so absolutely, the issue is huge. And so we're going to just start where we're at, do for one what we'd like to do for all, and then try to grow it from there.
Well, obviously the problems are too vast to cover in the short amount of time here. I guess one question I'd have, if we can cover it in a minute or so, which is laughable, but do you feel are the short and long-term goals that you have for this project?
Yeah, so for short-term, things that we're trying to measure, and that's a great question, is just that social connections. Again, it's just like awareness that I was mentioning earlier of groups coming together, I found four or five strategic plans, for example, just in these neighborhoods of North Central and Hillside North that existed simultaneously that didn't know about each other's plans. and so just having those conversations, I look at the city and just the neighborhoods like this big net where we can, and the net is all untied. And so can we go and tie this little piece of the net and this little piece of the net? Long-term, obviously, we want to see a reduction in poverty. Can we at least reverse the trend where it's, again, gone double digits? In Troy, we are twice as high a poverty rate as Rensselaer County. And Troy, depending on what stat you're looking at, and comparison to Schenectady and Albany also has some of the highest numbers. So can we over long time, 10-year is kind of our overarching vision, can we see a reduction or, you know, a reversal of that trend?
Well, this is a great discussion to have, and this is a great place to do it. If folks want to get more involved, if they want to find out more about what you're doing, where can they go?
Absolutely. So the best place is to go to onetroy.org, and you can read about the initiative, and you can connect with us, email us, and follow our social.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Dylan, Deborah, and Sadeja. I'm sorry we didn't have enough time to really get into it, but we'll have you back because I think that for us, the conversation is an ongoing one, too. It's not something that gets solved right away, and it's not a one-shot newscast. But we're really happy you stopped by today and hope you come back soon.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank
you.
That was WOOC correspondent Steve Pierce talking with members of the One Troy Anti-Poverty Program.